God bless you, saints. If you can turn in your Bible over to Hebrews again. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. And it is good to have Terrence back. If the brothers could pull up the PowerPoint slide and we'll just go through a little review of Hebrews 1 and just kind of talk about where we left off. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So Paul, again, he was explaining that God in the Old Testament spake in time past in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different times. He was the one doing the speaking through the prophets. And in these last days, he spake unto us by his Son. The one that was doing the speaking was made manifest, and now everything that we hear and everything that we believe, everything that we teach stems from the things that he spoke for those 3.5 years that he was on the earth, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He was actually if you want to know who the Father is, look at the one that declared his majesty and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And we'll look at that a little bit. In more detail a little bit later, sat down, what that means to sit down on the right hand. And Brother Branham said that means that that's a position, to sit down in the right hand, a position of power and authority on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, because he was God manifest in flesh, the one that was doing the speaking through the Old Testament. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And then we'll go over to Hebrews 1:7 on the next slide. You know, you kind of think about Paul. Paul was, you follow these patterns through their scripture, and Paul really was, after the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, they came out and began to preach about what the prophet Joel talked about, and began to lay in the scripture, identify what had happened with the scripture. But really, until Paul began to lay things out and began to teach and lay things out, they really didn't maybe not know fully what they had. And Paul began to lay out in the book of Hebrews, began to talk about how that now we've entered into that rest that was prophesied in the Old Testament, that was kind of spoken of in type. And now he identified that Holy Ghost they had with the Melchizedek that talked to Abraham. The one that came to him now was actually dwelling within them. So Paul was laying out for them a foundation that now they can really begin to understand the thing that they have. And now carry that on into this day, that Brother Branham, after the Holy Ghost fell in Azusa Street, now Brother Branham, now he's also laying out exactly what they've got, that we have something more than just gifts and signs and wonders. We've actually got, again, like Paul laid out, we've got that Melchizedek that came and spoke to Abraham. That's the one that's actually living on the inside of us and actually living out his life in us. So we've tapped into that. We've tapped into that supernatural power. Now, in Hebrew, just to kind of set in your mind a context of what we're talking about, and Hebrews 1:7, we talked about, and the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And we kind of begin to examine that a little bit more and to know that the angels, so many times you read scriptures and at first you, when you're reading it, you have a perception of what it's really trying to say. And the more that you read it, it begins to open up and begins to unfold. And you begin to realize maybe you weren't looking at it in the right way initially, as God begins to speak to you. And this might be one of those things where initially we're looking at it as from the perspective of, well, there's supernatural angels. But then as the more you read and meditate on the things that Brother Branham said about this, he's bringing it down to an actual, where you sit in church and you can listen to a man speak to you and help you and can benefit by going to church. Now, if we'll kind of go through some of these slides a little bit quickly. And Brother Branham said the greatest battle ever fought, he said that God sends forth angels. What are they? Ministering spirits. Ministering spirits sent from the presence of God. What to do? Minister his word. They're not to minister some theology of some denominational group. but to minister his words. And now let's go to the next slide real quickly. And he said in Hebrews chapter 2, he said, what do we find the angels to be? Prophets. The angels are prophets. The angels that Paul is talking about in Hebrews. He said, God spoke in sundry time. Now you have to make not our own idea, but the Bible. And he said, now he goes over here and say again, for if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and what does an angel mean? Messenger. If God anointed messenger, and then if we be anointed, we are God's messenger. If we be anointed by that Spirit, and then you've got the true meaning of what a ministering spirit is. It's actually the Spirit of God speaking through an earthly vessel to minister, to give somebody, to equip the chosen ones with something that they can overcome with. And if you'll go to the next slide, just kind of a summary of some of the scriptures that we talked about last week. In Hebrews chapter 1, he talks about, it starts off with who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And then at the very end of the chapter, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And then really the clincher that Brother Brown talked about in Hebrews chapter 2, he said, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection. This is actually quoting David from the Old Testament. He said, but one in a certain place testified, and he quotes what David said, showing there that this angel that he's quoting was an actual earthly angel, an earthly messenger, a man, David, that had a message to deliver to the people. And then the next slide, he said, now how do we know they are? These angels minister his word through his spirit, minister the word through the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit and the word came to the prophet. The prophets, and the prophets had the word of God. That's the reason they could do the miracles that they did. It wasn't the man. It was the Spirit of God in the man. The Spirit of Christ in the man for the word of God. And let's go to the next slide. See, he said in discernment of spirit, he said, now a New Testament prophet is a preacher. We all know that. Just any minister that's a preacher is a prophet, a New Testament prophet. If he's prophesying, preaching, not to try to edify himself, to make a big name, or to edify his organization. And then the next paragraph, he said, now if we will notice the motives and objectives of the Old Testament prophets, them men had one objective, and that was Jesus Christ. They had one thing that their whole theme of the Old Testament was built around, the coming Messiah. Now, if the Old Testament, if their motive, those angels in the Old Testament, their motive was entirely fixated on declaring the coming Messiah. Now, what should our motive be in this day? Not to build up our own following or to promote our own ideas, but it should all be centered around one objective, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And then the next slide, we already looked at that, so that's a duplicate. So we'll skip over that. Now, Brother Bramman said, and we would see Jesus, he said, that just a couple of quotes to kind of clinch this a little bit further. He said, the clergymen, the ministers of the gospel sitting here on the platform, angels ordained to preach life. Angels that the ministers of the gospel sitting up there on the platform with him would be actually angels ordained to preach life. And then in the way back, he said, he was talking about Stephen when he preached his little sermon there in the seventh chapter of Acts. He said his face shined like an angel. His face might not have shined like an angel up there, but an angel knows what he's doing. An angel is a messenger that's commissioned from God. Now, so we got the little background a little bit. We kind of talked about that last Sunday, that the angels that Paul's talking about are ministers to bring you the word. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians real quick on the next slide and talk about this maybe often misunderstood scripture that says, for this cause, off the woman. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you're not familiar with that, Paul actually lays down why we believe that we wear long hair. Why do we wear long hair? Now, here's the reason. He said, for this cause, ought the woman to have power, the sisters I'm talking about, the sisters wear long hair, ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, we just went through, what are the angels? What does that mean, though? What? See, a lot of times you can begin in the perception, in your mind, you begin to think that you're wearing long hair because you're scared of some kind of supernatural entity that you can't see or something, that the angels might be present walking around in the building, and so you're wearing long hair because of a supernatural angel that could be sitting in the chair. That's not the meaning of it. That's not the meaning that he's trying to convey. And if you go down to in verse 15, it says, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So there's the proof now that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about you got to have, a woman's got to have her hair covered, her head covered, but her hair is actually given to her for a covering. So that's the covering that God gave you, is your long hair. Why do you wear long hair? Now, way down at the bottom, I apologize, you can't read that. Maybe that's just a note for myself. But power, if you go back to look at what the Greek says, power, the definition of that word power in this case is, it's a sign of the husband's authority over his wife. In other words, the veil with which propriety required a woman to cover herself. So she's got power on her head, which shows that she's in subjection to her husband. Now that's a touchy subject, because you know one of the most difficult things that God has been trying to do is to bring his bride into total subjection to him. One of the most difficult things, if you can get a man and a woman and they're in perfect harmony, and the woman is in subjection to the man in the right way, not all of this Tommy Rotten pollution that's out there, but if you can get a real man running his home the way he should, and a woman in subjection to that man, then my, you've got a masterpiece. So the reason, let's examine that now. The reason that a woman is supposed to wear long hair, because of the angels, she's showing that she is living her life under the authority of the message that the angels, the ministers, have brought to her. So she's showing that she's under headship to the word. And that's why she has long hair. Now, that's why Paul, again, if you go back and read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says if you're going to cut off a little bit of your hair, you might as well cut it. It's as though you were, just go ahead and cut it all off. Because if you're going to say, well, I'm not going to believe any of the word, then you're not really believing. You're not believing the word. You wear your long hair is a symbol that you believe the word that you have heard. Now let's go to the next slide and see what Brother Branham said about it. He said, in the meanest man in Santa Maria. Don't you love Brother Branham's sermon titles? He said, that's the way the woman is supposed to wear long hair because of her head, which is her husband, You wear long hair because it shows you're under headship to your husband. He's to have short hair because of Christ. The woman wears long hair because of the angels. What is the angels? The messenger. A true messenger to the church. That's right. He will always call it down and say it's wrong, see, and so forth. And the church to be so yielded to Jesus that it don't claim its own head, its own headship. Christ is the headship of the church veiled. We're not our own, but we're his. Yielded to him and him alone. How beautiful. Now you see how scripture just ties together so perfectly that now we can read Hebrews 1 and 2 and then go over to 1 Corinthians 11, and now we have an understanding of what this scripture means. That you wear long hair because you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price and you're yielded to your husband. And it shows that you're his now. And so you wear long hair to show that. You know, that's one of those things that, you know, really you can argue all day long about many of these things, but when the Holy Ghost really gets a hold of you and opens it up to you, then it removes the argument and you actually begin to live out what Paul was talking about here. Let's go to the next slide. He says, now this is just kind of a summary of what we've been talking about. The angels are, an angel is a New Testament prophet filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed to bring the word. A New Testament, you know, the difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet is a New Testament prophet has got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul. And that's a pretty big difference. The ability for God to actually tabernacle himself inside of someone now in the New Testament and speak out. to minister his word. He said they're not to minister some theology of some denominational group, but to minister his word, reflecting the light of Jesus Christ, the apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, under their messenger. And that's a big key, what we'll look at in a second. Now let's go to the next slide. He said, then the prophet or the preacher, which is a New Testament prophet, a preacher, when he comes forth, begins to move through him, see. And that's a quote where he's just trying to place the gifts in the church, that when you, a gift of prophecy is when God can speak through, use someone in that moment to speak through and prophesy. But a prophet or the preacher, which is a New Testament prophet, when he comes forth and begins to deliver his message, God's actually using him to deliver something to the church. Let's go to the next slide. He said a prophet is a seer who sees. Now see, here's the difference between a New Testament prophet / preacher and a prophet who's a seer. A prophet is a seer who sees the people's heart and foretells the things that's coming to pass. But a prophet, prophet, is born a prophet, always was ordained before the world ever began. See, now you take Jesus Christ, the King of prophets. He was from the Garden of Eden, the seed of the woman prophet, and Moses was born a proper child, a prophet. John the Baptist, why, Isaiah saw him 712 years before he was born and said he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. 712 years before he was born. God said before he was even formed in his mother's womb that he knew him and sanctified him and ordained him a prophet to the nations. Now let's examine this a little bit more on the next slide. Now, so a New Testament prophet is somebody that's preaching the word in the New Testament. I think we've proven that out now. That's God, they've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and their ministering spirit. But now within that, you've got like highlighted in green, and this chart maybe has a few issues, and I'll explain that in a second. So, but in the first church age, Paul was a prophet, a seer. That he said, I went to the third heaven and all those kind of things. And underneath him, there's apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. And within that fivefold ministry, there's an office called a prophet that is a seer. And there are prophets still in the day. I was sharing earlier in one of the earlier Sunday school lessons that there are prophets in Africa and South America and throughout the world. And I was listening to a testimony of one, and we can talk about that later if you're interested to know. But he was sharing how that he has a gift where he can see visions and knows people. He said, I was listening to his testimony, and he said, I know who's trying to take over the church. And he said, I don't share those things openly because, you know, I did it at first initially in my life, and you'd begin to tear people places apart. He said, I don't want people to do things because they're afraid of me or afraid of the gift. I don't want them to live a life because they're afraid of me. I want them to live a life of, worthy of the gospel because that they, God has actually got a hold of them and changed them and they fall in love with Christ. But there are prophets. And so don't get in your mind that we don't have prophets anymore. There certainly are prophets. But prophets in this case, like Paul, a seer, or prophets in the fivefold ministry, a seer that's able to see a vision and look into your life and those kind of things. So there's when Brother Branham would say in his message the word prophet, sometimes it means a little bit different things. It could mean a New Testament prophet, a preacher. It could mean someone like Paul, or it can mean somebody within the fivefold ministry that has that gift of sight, a gift of prophecy to look into your life. Now all down through the seven church ages, you've got these ministers that are over, they bring a message for that age, like Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and Brother Branham begins, we're talking about ministering spirits now, ministering spirits, and each of those, they're bringing a message for their age, and under their message, people get a hold of that. Men get a hold of that, and they begin to declare that message. So at the beginning, isn't it interesting? The very first church age, it started out with a prophet. And at the very last church age, it ended with a prophet. And under those prophets, under those men, you've got the fivefold ministry, one of which is a prophet, a seer. But all of them are speaking, anointed by the Holy Ghost to deliver a message. I hope that's clear. If anybody has any questions, feel free to say. I love feedback. I've gotten a lot of feedback so far about people can't see the slides and that the font needs to be bigger or anything, and that don't bother me at all. I want to improve. So if anything's not clear or anything, feel free to let me know. Or Brother Wade or whatever. Now let's read this quote. Brother Brown said, "In the dark ages, the word was entirely lost to the people. Almost entirely lost to the people, but God sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time, but they organized, and again, the pure word was lost, for organization tends toward dogma and creeds and not simple word. They could no longer speak for God. Then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice with the word in his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living epistles read and known of all men for their generation." So in other words, we're talking about these spirits that ministered in each age. And under each age, you've got these people that, the fivefold ministry that picked that message up. And they also are ministering spirits to the people. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years until in this last day there is again another people in the land who, under their messenger, will be the final voice to the final age. Under their messenger. So we've got to say that exactly the same thing that he said. Let's go to the next slide and look at this. So we're talking about of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And that same thought can be carried on over into Revelation, ministering spirits, the Spirit of God actually ministering in men. Where in Revelation chapter 1 verse 4 it says, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you." And it talks about from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And in Revelation chapter 3, it says, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God." And in Revelation chapter 6, it says, "Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now, we're just following this thread from Hebrews down 1 Corinthians down into Revelation, following this line of thought through the Bible. These are the same things, ministering spirits, that God is actually ministering through men. Now, let's go to the next slide. It says, "The Sardesian church age, the spirits was the angels that went to the stars, which were messengers." That's kind of a meaty little statement right there. Seven spirits, seven different times the Holy Spirit would anoint a messenger, which was a star in his day. Seven times the Holy Spirit would anoint a messenger. So it's the Holy Spirit speaking through these seven men. "A spirit is eternal, and a star that was made for a purpose to reflect light in the dark of these church ages where candles and stars are representing. The angel, the spirit, was the one that went to the star and reflected the light of the Holy Spirit through this star to that church age. It's the seven messengers of the seven church ages." See? "Now, in each time that the star came in on the scene, the Holy Spirit came down and anointed that star and kept it just exactly like the first one was." Now, let's go to the next slide. He said, "What is those seven spirits, seven messengers? There's St. Columba and Irenaeus and John Wesley and Martin Luther and so forth, the seven spirits, which are seven men, seven angels, which are seven messengers." Now, we're just following that thread. Now, and we'll end on this. And of the angel, let's skip the next slide and go to the one right after that. "And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits," and the musicians should go ahead and start coming forward, "who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." Because when you met the pillar of fire yourself, when you've got an experience with God yourself, it causes you, you've got a message that you want to deliver. So Paul's saying again, "Of the angels who saith he maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." the ministers carrying forth a message for the people, anointed by the Spirit of God. And God bless you, and God bless the remaining service.